Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Self-control, the last of the fruit of the Spirit. We're concluding that last fruit today and wish you God's blessings as we tackle that. And I'd like to begin by telling two stories. These two stories are very similar in how they begin, but they are drastically different in how they end. The first story comes from the book The Lord of the Flies, written by William Golding back in the late 50s, early 60s. It's a great book for a male teenager. That's when I read it. I was in high school, and the adventure of living on a deserted island was fantastic to read about. The story is about a group of teenage boys who survive a plane crash and happen to find they find some shelter on a deserted island out on the Pacific Ocean. It's a teenage boy's dream. Sand and beach everywhere, waves crashing in, video games all day without parents to keep track of curfews. Well, not exactly that. But maybe the best part of this story is that there aren't any grown-ups to tell the boys what they should do. So what the plan that they come up with is to elect the most charismatic and athletic of the boys to lead them, a boy named Ralph. And Ralph comes up with three guidelines for the boys to live by on that island. Number one, have fun. That's pretty cool. Number two, survive. And number three, simply tend the fire and create smoke signals so that a plane or a ship could see them off in the distance. Sounds pretty easy, pretty straightforward. But how did it work out? Not so well. You see, the boys don't tend the fire. They'd rather go off on wild adventure. They take off all their clothes and they paint their bodies. They begin to punch and push and shove. And at the end of their experience, three of the boys actually die. Why did that turn out so poorly? Well, a lack of self-control. The fruit of the Spirit that we're talking about. Now, the good news is, as you well know, that story is fictional. It didn't really happen. Now, how about you? How are you doing? You might be feeling like you're living on a deserted island right now. Physical distancing, social distancing, it's hard. The rules are not let's have fun and survive and make smoke signals, but the rules are close right now. They're have fun, survive, and make as many social media posts to let people know that you're doing okay and your loved ones as well. So how are you doing with self-control on the deserted island that you're living on? One person wasn't doing so well a couple of weeks ago in Corvallis. It was reported by the Corvallis Chamber of Commerce that someone went up and down 3rd Street and knocked the windows out of 20 businesses and the flower pots outside. At a time in which businesses are trying to get up and going, this person knocked them even to a lower level. But I know what you're thinking. That's not you. You didn't do that. That person was arrested. What does this have to do with me? You might be thinking. And then in my neighborhood, we found out from a friend that their car was broken into. The good news was that their neighbor caught the person on camera. The bad news? That same exact person came back to that same exact car a week later and broke in again. Now, what are you thinking as you hear that? That's not me. That's not my problem. That's somebody else. Domestic violence is on the rise. That's not my problem. That's somebody else. But you see, as you go through the list, it does become each person's problem. Self-control. Because at some point, it touches each one of us. How are you doing with your language? How are you doing with your emotions? How are you doing with your relationships? How are you doing with exercise or eating, or you fill in the blank. How are you doing with that fruit of the Spirit called self-control? Now I'd like to tell you the second story. I think you'll like this one better. It's actually a true story. Back in 1966, six boys who were living on an island called Tonga in the South Pacific decided that they were overly bored with school and wanted some adventure. So they stole a fisherman's boat and went out to sea without any food or water and just went out for this great adventure. The wind blew apart their sail, and they ultimately fell asleep and became lost at sea. 8 days later, they wandered on the ocean, on the waves of the ocean, to an island, a deserted island that was basically a rock jutting up out of the waters with just a few palm trees on one side of the island. And the boys lived, six of them, for 15 months until someone came by on a ship just by chance and saw the fire that they had going on the island. Now, how did they survive for 15 months? It's interesting. They practiced self-control, the fruit of the Spirit. They told their story that they actually broke up into pairs and practiced doing duties and shared duties for 15 months. They woke up every single day and started their day with prayer to God and songs to God, and closed every day with prayer to God and songs to God. The doctors who took a look at them after the 15 months and after they had been brought back to the island were astonished by how healthy they looked. It was as if they were even healthier after those 15 months than they were before they even were lost. Now back to how you're doing. You might be doing really well with self-control. In fact, for as many stories that there are out there of bad things happening and people not practicing self-control, there are just as many good ones. Kind of like the lady that emailed me just a couple weeks ago. She had never met me. She simply emailed me to say that she wanted to pray for Peace Lutheran Church and its ministry. Wow. Did she want something? Did she want something in return? Well, I found out no. She just simply wanted to pray. And then I was shocked, actually, as she shared the story, because there was really no reason for this woman to do this. You see, here was her story that I discovered in some email exchanges. She was a widow who was all alone, living through this pandemic. Her husband had died 5 years before. Now, she had adult children, but they had their own families, and they were gathering together, but she was alone, isolated. And when they did talk over the phone, that was an option, she came to the realization that her adult children didn't realize just how alone she was. She enjoyed volunteering, but even that had been taken away. Would she live with rage and anger over her situation? No. She chose to pause and wait and choose a different church each week to write and offer a prayer for them. And as I speak to my peace people that are tuning into this sermon, I'd like to say I have seen extraordinary examples of self-control. Good job. Calls that have been made, emails that have been given, and cards that have been written. What a blessing you have been to our church family, practicing self-control. Now, how can we make sure that the story of our lives in these challenging times is the second story where we're healthy and not the first story where we tear one another apart? Well, there's one lesson I've learned, and that is self-control does not come by trying to take control. In the Lucky household, we actually learned that tough lesson maybe a few weeks into the pandemic. You see, we were going stir crazy, and we needed to take control of the next hours of our lives, just 2 or 3 hours, just to be able to go out on an adventure and dictate how things would go. And we wanted to do it in a safe way and within the guidelines, but we wanted that control. So we came up with a plan. Here was the plan. We gathered up our family, wife Alicia and the three kids, into our car, and we took off for Newport to pick up some fish and chips, just a takeout meal. And we drove up to there by the shore, and we just watched the waves splash in. And just for an hour or two, man, that felt good to have some control over the future. It was fantastic. But then we decided to drive down to Waldport. We were feeling really confident about how things were going, even more control over the situation. When we pulled into Our Savior Lutheran Church in Waldport, our middle child, Claire, vomited all over in the car. It was awful. And one of the head elders of that church, his first name's David, pulled into the parking lot and said, "Pastor Lucky, it's so great to see you and your family in our parking lot." Well, little did he know that what we were doing there was actually cleaning up a horrendous mess in every crevice and between every seat in our car. You know what we learned? We learned that we really wanted to take control in those few moments, but we learned that we can't take control. It doesn't work out that way. To practice self-control, it doesn't come by grabbing and trying to really show power and control how the future is going to go. So how is it that we can practice self-control? Here it is. We realize that we are deeply loved. Jesus says in today's gospel, we heard it. Jesus says, "As the Father has loved me, I love you. Abide in my love." Abide can mean remain, it can mean live, it can mean stay, all those words. And when Jesus said those words, he knew that it was a critical moment for his disciples, right around John chapter 14 all the way to about John chapter 16. He knew that right around the corner, he would face death and be separated from his disciples. He also knew that they would face severe opposition and difficulty in life. And he knew ultimately that they would be persecuted. 11 of the 12 ultimately died for the faith. And what Jesus wanted to communicate to them clearly was that they were not to live by grasping for more control, but on the deserted islands that they would live on for the rest of their life, Jesus wanted them to practice living in his love and practicing self-control. Jesus knows your challenges. He knows your hurts. He knows what's coming in the week ahead. You don't. He knows what's coming in 6 months from now. You don't. He knows what's coming in a year from now. My friends, you don't. And there is enough of his love to surround and fill you no matter what you face in a week, in 6 months, or a year from now. And I have to think what helped those boys survived for 15 months was this. At some point on that journey, on that life on that deserted island, they realized they were deeply loved. That allowed them to practice self-control. And at some point, that woman that emailed Peace Lutheran Church and offers prayers for different churches each week, she must have at some point realized that she was deeply loved, and it shifted her to pray for other Christians. The fruit of the Spirit, as we conclude, let's review. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. You know, I used to call the fruit of the Spirit the fruits of the Spirit. Someone corrected me and said it's actually singular. Check the Greek New Testament. And it's true. It's the fruit of the Spirit. And as I studied that, there's a reason why it's singular. You see, in Greek, whenever you have a singular word followed by a list, a numbered list, it's the first item on that list that is the key for the rest of the items. If you remember anything, here's the thing. If you want to be a little more peaceful, remember the first fruit. You are loved. If you want to be a little more faithful in life, remember the first fruit. You are loved. If you want to be a little more self-controlled, remember that you are deeply loved. As Timothy Keller rightly says, my friends, you are more a sinner than you ever imagined, but you're also more deeply loved than you could ever imagine as well.